Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the deadly virus of free speech. Because when you have a deadly virus, you need to speak freely. You need to say, I don't want no vaccine. I don't want no vaccination. That's what you need. You need to sing it loud and sing it proud. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, and send badly needed fundage. All right. Today we have with us Filbert. Filbert, welcome to the show.
Howdy. Glad to be here. White power.
Exactly. White power, was that it? Who used to call up? Somebody used to call up Stormfront and always say white power.
I don't know, but kudos to them. It's okay. a beautiful day. Friday. It's a white power Friday.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
Holiday weekend as well.
Holiday, Labor Day. That's right. All right. Well, there's things that could be said, but I want to get straight to the Biden. He had a speech, and last night there's a lot to it. I'd like to play some excerpts. So let's just get right on into it. So here's an excerpt from the Biden's speech.
Empathy before democracy. The willingness to see each other, not as enemies, but as fellow Americans. Look, our democracy isn't perfect. It always has been. Notwithstanding those folks you hear on the other side there, they're entitled to be outraged. This is a democracy. A history is understanding. Good management is more than I've ever seen before. Common sense tells an opportunity, liberty, and justice for all are most likely to come to pass in a democracy.
Oh, what happened? Okay, they lost the audio feed, but let's see. They still have a video feed. Okay. On the video, they've got this woman doing simultaneous translation for the deaf. And a lot of people don't know this, but actually I'm deaf, and I'm just really good at reading lips. That's why I don't take calls. All right, so I'm just going to translate for a while back from the sign language for the deaf. Let's see. We're going to end cancer as we know it, mark my words. We're going to create millions of new jobs and a clean energy economy. We're going to think big. Hey, you kids, get the hell off my lawn. We're going to make, I mean it, get the hell off my lawn. Hey, you see this ball? It's my ball now. That's where we need to focus our energy. Not in the past, not on divisive culture wars, white supremacy, politics of grievance. Hey, I told you, get the hell off my lawn. Yeah, you don't think I'll do it? I killed tons of Japs during the war, okay? The big one, WW2. Oh, wait, I think they're going to get the audio back. Hold on a second. Are they back to the audio? Here we go. All right. Well, that was the speech. First impressions, Filbert?
Yeah, he's a genius. My father says, he's a regular Rhodes Scholar.
Well, you know something. Like, this is being called one of the most important speeches in American history. Apparently, he said democracy 54 times, but who's counting? I'm not counting. I just do a word search in the text of the speech. And future historians are already calling this equivalent of Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech. So the future historians are already calling this the I Have a Democracy speech. So democracy.
He didn't get more votes than any other electoral or any other presidential candidate in history.
By far.
And even more blacks voted for him than voted for Obama, right?
Yeah. You see, the thing is, black neighborhoods, when Obama ran, he was getting 100% of the vote, but he was only getting 100% of 60% voter turnout, because 40% of the people couldn't be bothered because he's only half black. Whereas Biden's 100% black, meaning he was getting 120% turnout in these black neighborhoods.
Hey, that's pretty impressive. As Biden said, you know, if you vote Republican, you ain't black or something like that, right?
If you don't vote for me, you ain't black.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, honestly, this is a little bit weird, but some CNN anchor lady is criticizing the Biden because he had these two Marines visibly standing behind him at attention. And then she said this is getting the military involved. I don't know. Whatever. But another thing that's interesting is the White House announced that this would not be a political speech, but he came out and said that Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans are a threat to democracy. They're our greatest threat. Not to be confused with our greatest ally, Israel, but the MAGA Republicans. Trump and the MAGA Republicans have taken over the Republican Party. That's not a political speech, eh?
Yeah. Democracy.
God bless you all. Democracy. Who writes this stuff?
It's like using amen in a prayer, right? Amen. Democracy. Amen.
Democracy. He said that at the very end. Democracy. Just in case you didn't hear it, the prior 53 times he used the word. Actually, I do have the transcript in front of me. How many times did he say democracy? Let's just type it in here. Democracy.
Control it.
34 times. Okay, 34 times. So that's pretty many. 34 times. How many times did he say this? That's a common word. 59 times. Okay, so it wasn't as many as he said this. But at any rate, I wonder how many times he said corn pop. I'm not going to count. It's all becoming ridiculous. And, okay, so now it's officially September. And so we've got these midterm elections in just over 2 months, right? When will the elections be? November. It's the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November. So that means, it will be the 8th. So we still have about, 9 weeks or so? Nine weeks? I guess it's 9.5 weeks, something like that. I don't know. Who's counting? But, and we're hearing that the Republicans aren't doing well. I don't know. The Republicans might not be doing well, but the Democrats are pretty, this speech, I only played you a small part of it, but I think you got a representative idea from just me screaming, get the hell off my lawn, because it was very angry. It wasn't really a speech so much as a holler. He was just like hollering at people, and he looks very angry. And if you got even like a CNN anchor who's criticizing him over whatever, it still means that, you know, he's being exposed to criticism even from the press that created him. And then plus, you could hear, you know, even in the official feeds, you could hear people shouting, "Let's go, Brandon," throughout the speech. So,
let's go, Brandon. Yeah, I'm getting tired of hearing that. I mean, it was kind of funny for, you know, a few weeks, but I can't believe it picked up as much as it did. But yeah, we need another acronym or a better acronym. I like the F Joe Biden better personally.
Well, the Let's Go Brandon, you know, it's kind of watered down. It's kind of weak, but it's something that it's I think it's kind of effective. And everybody knows what it means. And it can, you know, these are words. These are not, none of those are George Carlin's seven words that you can't say on TV, right? So, and it's something that people will spontaneously chant because everybody knows it. So it might be kind of effective. We'll see. The Biden will be out on the campaign trail. I mean, this was a campaign event. He's going to be going to places. And we'll see. I mean, the thing is, when he ran for president, he really never went out on the campaign trail. They shut off the campaign. They said there was a deadly virus and he needed to stay in his basement or whatever in Delaware. He just stayed in Delaware. And
yeah, it's theorized that he had a stroke, and that's the real reason why, while he was recovering.
I wonder.
Heard that?
No, I never heard that. And the thing is, he was already in bad shape, and before the whole coronavirus deadly pandemic got going, they were having these debates in 2019. The Democratic Party was having debates. They had a series of debates, and he didn't sound very good in those debates. So I don't know now. And of course, people respond to strokes differently. And at his age, having, you know, what's called a mini stroke, you know, it's perfectly possible. It's possible he had one. But, you know, in Pennsylvania, they've got this Senate race between Dr. Oz and an enormous Jew, right? His name is John Fetterman. Are you familiar with that? Okay. So, you know, Mr. Clean?
Yes.
From Mr. Clean, from the cleaning liquid, Mr. Clean.
Yeah, did they replace him with, like, Mr. T or something?
Mr. Clean, was he replaced? He might have been replaced with Will Smith from the movie Aladdin. I don't know if you saw that. It was Will Smith played the genie, and Aladdin was played by Ryan Dawson, apparently. I think it was played by Ryan Dawson, if you know who he is.
Yeah.
I think so. So the old white Mr. Clean, that's John Fetterman, except John Fetterman's bigger and fatter. He used to weigh like 400 something pounds, which sounds enormous, but of course he's probably 6'8 or 6'9. He's very, very large. And he's a Jew, and, you know, they do have stores for big and tall men where you can buy suits, and he never wears a suit. Apparently he has one suit, and then otherwise he just wears gym clothes. And so he's going around in gym clothes, but he had a stroke right before the primary election in May, but he was, you know, he was a favorite, so he won his Democratic primary, Dr. Oz won the Republican primary, and then Fetterman spent the next 3 months recouping. But now he's out on the campaign trail. But the thing is, he had a stroke, and he struggles with words. So that, you know, if you want to see what I know not all stroke victims, depending on what part of your brain is affected, they don't all respond the same way, but he is an example of a stroke victim. I think Joe Brandon is just an example of somebody with, you know, dementia, classic dementia. Get the hell off my lawn!
And that's, as we know, I don't believe that's really reversible yet. So, I mean, that's even worse. And I don't wish anything bad upon anybody usually, but in this case, I can make an exception for me personally. Because think of all the damage this guy went out in public. Everybody knows what I'm going to talk about here. When he said, diversity is not our for diversity is not our weakness, it's a sign of our strength. And then now he goes on to say, like, people like me that are white are going to be a minority, and that's great. You know, so anybody that can celebrate, you know, the genocide of my kind, I think I can celebrate their cognitive decline. How about that? Is that fair?
I'd go along with that. I think that's fine. Well, and he is the leader of the free world. So we've got, okay, I know you're in the Ozarks. Can you see the world falling apart, or at least the country falling apart? How visible is it falling apart from your perspective in the Ozark Mountains?
Well, like you said, I'm in the mountains. So I go, it's like Hank Williams Jr., the Copperhead Road song, right? Not Hank Williams Jr. On the Stephen Earle, right? Copperhead Road, only go to town about twice a year. Well, I'm going to town right now. So I'm going to see how the collapse is when I get to town, I guess. But I don't see it much. I love living in the woods. Living in the woods. People get the impression of a Ruby Ridge, but you got to insulate yourself somewhat. Get off the system. So you're right, in reference of how bad it is here, it's not bad at all. Look at coming to the Ozark Plateau, like I've said before, and I don't want to repeat myself too much, but come visit the Ozarks. This fall, it looks great here with lots of trees, and we are, you know, most of Missouri, up to middle Missouri, and most of northern Arkansas as well, and a slice of Oklahoma, and even a very short sliver of Kansas, very, very small portion of northeastern Kansas.
Southeastern?
Northeastern, the extreme northeastern. There's like a tiny sliver that's still in the Ozark, technically. We're one of the only plateaus in the country, other than, with the exception of the Black Hills. And maybe some others. I'm not an expert, but I know this is very aged mountains. This is what the Rockies will look similar to this in, what, how many thousands of years, I guess?
Oh, they're like in 50 million years or 100 million years.
Right.
It'll take a while.
So yeah. That's also like to point out, this is one of the few, if not maybe the only, parts of the country where it's actually getting whiter. So there's for reference, there is Ozarks is about 90 counties, I think 91, or it's about 90 counties that are all 90% white, except for Greene County, I think. That's the biggest city. Springfield is the biggest city in the Ozarks. So if you can imagine the Ozarks as your own country, I guess Springfield will like be the capital, I guess. Anyway, this is the only part of the country where it's getting whiter. People are moving here.
You know,
there's that place, Idaho. I believe Idaho is getting whiter. There's a lot of white flight in Idaho as well. Only you're going to compare prices, the Idaho, the Ozarks, be my guest. I mean, you're going to be able to get, if you can afford to live in Idaho, you could probably get something here twice as nice and twice as big, larger, if you're buying land. So, anyway, check out the Ozarks.
So, it's interesting, how far could the internal migration, the self-segregation in the United States, how much potential is there for it? You know, so, okay, Idaho and the Ozarks, these are relatively small areas. And, of course, there's also how much longer are we going to be having Brandon-level mass illegal immigration into the United States? Because it's really off the charts right now.
Right. Eventually, you would think, I don't know, I'd like to get your opinion on this, but eventually I would think it would come to a breaking point. I mean, the system is not going to, we already can't supply, like, everybody with everything, right? We can't house and feed the world poor, nor should it be our responsibility to. I would think, like, eventually, some common sense will eventually come to...
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
It's not gonna, we already can't supply like everybody with everything, right? We can't house and feed the world's poor, nor should it be our responsibility to. I would think like eventually some common sense will eventually come to, you know, say some of the Democrats that may have some power to speak out. Eventually, I think cooler heads will prevail, if you will. I don't know though. Will it come to a breaking point? What do you think?
I think it could go in a variety of directions. You know, and if I thought everything was going to go in a particular direction, no matter what we did, I wouldn't bother. I think there is a struggle going on, and
lottery a lot more, right?
Yeah. So, you know, what's going on is clearly unsustainable. Bringing in all these people, we're not going to continue to be a first world country if we're just throwing the doors open to millions and millions of third worlders while simultaneously attacking and undermining the first world people that we have here. You know, we're not going to stay a first world country. So what are the types of things that we're going to see? I think it's going to be a whole variety of things. Yeah, I think you're going to see, you know, inflation will be one thing. Big prices and changes, big changes in prices, you're going to find systems increasingly breaking down, you know. So maybe, well, if you try to call up the government now, let's just say you want help with the ask a question from the IRS about how do your taxes or you know, you're calling in for your cell phone or whatever. Everything is going to get longer, and you know, wait times will get longer. You won't get through to people. You're not going to get answers. Systems are just going to break down. All sorts of things in just a whole bunch of ways. You know, we're talking about supply chain issues. You'll increasingly, you won't be able to get parts for things. You won't be able to repair things. It's going to be kind of like, from all directions, I think. And society.
Oh, like South Africa, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, one of the aspects of South Africa, of course, is the, no consequences for violence against white people.
Right. That's the scariest thing. That's the scariest thing in my view. That's why it's important to be around your own kind and disconnect from the system. You know, get in white neighborhoods, you know.
Yeah, now.
And that's easier said than done, you know. Not everybody can just pick up and move, and you have children, and it's very complicated, but I don't want to say now or never, but, you know, do it while you still can.
Now, the demographics of South Africa are a lot different, because South African, the whites make up, I guess, somewhere between 10 and 15% of the population, and the blacks make up probably 75 to 80% of the population. And then you got what they call coloreds, who are part white, part black, part bushman. Actually, I have an awful lot of bushman in them. And then you got the some Asians and Indians. But yeah, the demographics are really, really bad there. You know, whites are going to be, even once they're not a majority, they'll still be a plurality. They'll still be the biggest single group for a while. And you know, when relatively white Hispanics, they are assimilable, whether they will assimilate to whites or not is another question. You got people like, what's the guy's name? Jim Acosta on CNN, who's Cuban, but he's like completely Caucasian, but he's got some sort of, he's been indoctrinated into having an anti-white chip on his shoulder.
Right, right. Like a true Spaniard, a true Spanish, right? European Spanish, not mestizo. No. I don't think mestizos can be integrated. I think Spanish whites, yeah, for sure.
So maybe upwards of 2% of the American population in 1960. Yeah, you know, I have my 1960 World Almanac, or maybe it's a 62 World Almanac, and it's got the 1960 census figures in there. And you had a, you know, 1 or 2% of the population was deemed Mexican. They didn't have a Hispanic category back then, but they did have categories for, you know, Irish ancestry or German ancestry, and Mexican was one of those white ancestries. And those people who were more or less left over from when the United States annexed the northern part of Mexico, there weren't very many people there, but the people were either American Indians or they were Spaniards, and there weren't a whole lot of mestizos there. So those people were whites. The Cubans who came in, like Jim Acosta's family, those are mostly whites. So some of the Hispanics are white, but the big explosion of the Hispanic population that we've gotten over the past few decades has been largely mestizo, first Mexican and now Central American. And, yeah, they're not as, well, I mean, they're not as natural to assimilate because they are genetically more different. We'll see. But yeah, a lot of things are breaking down. I think systems are going to break down. It's, you know, if you want to, this is just one example, but I think this is the type of thing we'll be seeing. If you want to,
you are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Good Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
But yeah, a lot of things are breaking down. I think systems are going to break down. This is just one example, but I think this is the type of thing we'll be seeing. If you want to have a procedure done or make an appointment for the dentist or the doctor or whatever, we're already at points where often you're told you've got to wait for 4 months or 6 months or, 8 months to get an appointment.
What we're seeing now is whites are going to go to the end of the line for everything. If you're white, you'll go to the end of the line.
You are getting indications of that. So a couple of weeks ago, Mike Rivero and others were reporting on this school district in or near Seattle, Washington, which is explicitly saying when they lay off teachers, they are going to lay off white teachers first. And then Mike Rivero was reporting yesterday, and I haven't seen this myself, I haven't heard anybody else talk about it, but if it's true, we certainly will be hearing people talk about it, that I believe it was Bank of America, one of the major banks.
Yes, I was just reading about that. Yes, Bank of America announces zero down payment and zero closing cost mortgages for black and Hispanic homebuyers, first-time homebuyers. Yeah, right.
Which is clearly illegal.
I doubt they have to be a first home. They just want to express their hatred for white people, don't they?
Yeah, and was that Bank of America?
Yes, Bank of America.
Yeah.
Bank of America. If anybody is listening that has Bank of America, and not even for this reason, they rip you off. Man, I've had, I won't go into details, but I've had very bad personal experiences with Bank of America. Just dump them. And I thought about that whenever I read that. I thought, account with a different bank now. That's just disgusting. A bank just wants to, you know, present their hatred towards white people. Just abhorrent.
And, you know, the fact that they can, they feel that they can just say that this is acceptable. That this
right.
kind of policy would be acceptable.
Right.
They can announce this.
The gall. I mean, the gall and the brazenness just makes you want to smack somebody at the bank, you know, in charge of that. But, you know, you can't. And, you know, what am I going to do? Get arrested?
Well, I don't know. So, I mean, it's clearly illegal. I don't know if there will be court cases. Apparently, there are court cases that have been spawned by that announcement of, in the school district in Washington State. So they're...
Okay.
You know, what's going to happen with the courts? Who knows?
I don't know what it's called. There's probably a word for it. But you know how the Jews... they get away with this stuff because of the Holocaust, right? It's like, oh yeah, we can do whatever we want. And then like the reason is, oh, because of Holocaust. It's a Holocaust, you know? And it's, it seems like in modern day, especially the past like couple years, 3 years maybe, blacks are gonna be able to get away with everything. And it's like, why? It's like, oh, because of colonialism and racism, right? Oh, just because you're bad. Just because we don't like you, you know? I know that may be more simplistic than it really is, but there's probably a term for that.
Well, I tell you, I'm trying to think of a term. I'm trying to think of what that is, and then B, trying to think of what term there would be. But I was going to say, so the Daily Stormer, the most trusted name in news, had an article a couple of days ago calling on whites just to say anti-white. Don't say racist or anti-white racist. Let's just stop talking about racism. Let's just talk about anti-white, anti-whiteness. And
I agree.
I talked with Dr. Duke, and he was saying, well, I don't know, this term racism, it's like really, really powerful, and it's good to use it against them. And I thought, you know, David and I are boomers, okay? And the term has a big sting. Honestly, I agree with Andrew. I do. But boomers, the term racist has a big sting. And so maybe there's an attraction to turn it against the Jews, right, who are being racist to us or whatever. But to younger people, a lot of, and because David was saying, well, racist is defined as wanting to oppress or hurt other people, rule over other people. And I said, David, that's where, I mean, if you're going to say it's defined, is that how it's written in the dictionary, in Webster's dictionary? You can't just, maybe that's what it means to you, but that's not how it's used now. I'm not trying to, disclose David and I's talks, right? But I'm just using as kind of an example. The way it's used now is microaggressions, right? The way it's used now is if a white lady goes up to a black woman who has a baby in the stroller and says, "What a cute baby," that's racist. Well, you're assuming that it shouldn't be cute because it's black, that's racist, right? So, I mean, everything's gotten all crazy. So, racism is defined now as anything they want it to be.
Well, in my view, racism is only defined as a white person that hates, you know, other non-whites. Because basically that's what the Jews in Hollywood have, they've built an entire, I guess you could say, edifice around this word, you know, around this one word. And, you know, for the past 50 years, everybody, including whites, especially whites, have been brainwashed into thinking only white people are racist. So that word racism just immediately conjures up images of, say, the KKK or, somebody that's Sikh Island or something like that, right? Or Nazis. Like, that's the definition of racism to them. So, and I think you're right. It's you would have to undo that first in order to use the word racism or racist, I think, for that etymology to be even correct, you know, to correct definition of the word. And secondly, I personally caution against using the weapons that the Jews use against us, because I don't think that's effective in the long run. And if I'm correct, I believe it was a Jew that kind of coined the term racism in the Soviet Union.
I hear it was Trotsky. I don't know if it really was, but that Don Black would always say it was Trotsky.
Yeah, I believe it was Trotsky. It was originally to stifle people from looking into who was in power of the Bolshevik Revolution, I believe, which are Jews. So I remind people of this, and really they have no response to it. When people call me a racist, or I ask them what you can do, try this one time. If people call you a racist, ask them if they know who coined the term or who came up with the word. I guarantee you they're not going to know who Leon Trotsky is. And remind them that, oh, so you're going to use a term that a mass-murdering Jew used, right? Do you think you're in good position to be using terms, accusing me of something that a murderous Jew came up with? Ask them that. They will not.
By the way, on Tucker Carlson's show last night, he referred to Leon Trotsky as a military genius.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay, so in academia today, in the universities today, racism is defined, this is the thing, as of a few years back, it's defined as bias plus power. So because whites have all the power, obviously we have all the power. I mean, who else would be implementing affirmative action? I mean, only whites could implement affirmative action.
Themselves. Yeah, because we're the ones in power.
Right. Because we're obviously the ones in power. So only whites can be racist because we're the only ones with power by definition. So there you go. But so before I was on Stormfront, the co-host for the first hour was a barber or a former trucker who became a barber, and his name was Truck Roy, or just Roy. And Roy, he was. And so this would be, we're talking about like 2014, 2015. He was pushing hard the idea of using the term anti-white. Got to use anti-white. Just say anti-white, which seemed pretty hardcore at the time. But I think anti-white, even is better than anti-white racism. Because, you know, I've heard people discussing these things that is going on, and they're saying, well, it's reverse racism, which is still wrong. Or, you know, racism against white people is still racism. Or I thought we'd left our racist past behind, you know. Or Martin Luther King, right? Is that what Martin Luther King was dreaming of? And so all of these things, it you're still hearkening back to America being racist. You know, we got over it. And I don't think we should touch on that. I don't think we should hearken back to it. And if other people want to say, well, whites were racist against blacks before or whatever, I think we should have responses to it. You know, because
You can't play on their game. You can't play their game with their rules. When you're using their language, that's what you're doing. You're using their rules on their field. And you have, I don't want to say make your own rules, but you use your own language, and they don't have a response.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, during the period that America had slavery and had Jim Crow, the black population just boomed. It boomed, and it wasn't because of immigration. It wasn't because of... So, I mean, up until, I guess, 1809, I guess you still had... 1808, 1809, you still had... importation of black slaves. But after that, there was virtually none. There might have been a few smuggled in. And you, until recently, you weren't having much black immigration. You know, you had some from Jamaica or the Indies. Now you're getting it, but you weren't for a long, long time. And so you went from having 4 million, like at the end of the Civil War, you had 4 million blacks. And then now you've got 40 million. that they increased by 10 times, and that wasn't immigration. The only way that the white population was able to keep up with the black population was through mass immigration, because the blacks have reproduced. They've reproduced much better. And if you look around the world, until the 20th century, and, you know, the black increase was happening before the 20th century, but until the 20th century, peasants struggled to reproduce. So, and workers even more. So, you know, the blacks, whatever you want to say, in a lot of ways, they didn't have it that bad. They couldn't have had it that bad. They reproduced readily here. What do you think?
Yeah, it's ironic, all you could say verbal jiu-jitsu and mental gymnastics people go through just trying to, you know, make their enviers look bad. At the end of the day, I've thought about this quite a bit, and I don't know if you agree or not, but it just seems to me like this hatred from white people come from the fact that they rely on us. You know, in the long run, they know that, you know, it's envy. It's hatred from envy, in my opinion. I mean, I hate to put it that simplistic. I know it's more complicated than that, but ultimately, they knew that, you know, whites are their competitors. That's why they don't like us.
Well, are you talking about blacks, or are you talking about other groups?
Yeah. Well, I'm talking about the global race war that's going on right now. It's blacks, Jews, mainly Jews are the top enemy, or we're their top competitor, I guess you could say. You know, the Chinese. There's a global race war going on right now. Maybe not a hot global race war right now, but yeah, there's a global race war. Whites need to band together, that's for sure. I mean, that pretty much goes without saying, but what do you think? Am I right? That mental pathology? Is it hatred through envy? Am I wrong?
Well, no, I mean, there is, there are inferiority complexes felt around the world, even in Japan. And the Japanese were only marginally behind whites, and they caught up very quickly. But even there, they knew that they were behind, and they know they had to catch up. They know this history. So there's even a bit of it there. The Chinese got way behind, right? And, you know, the Indians were way behind. The Africans were never going to, you know, didn't look like they were poised to go anywhere. The Chinese, like, at least the Chinese can look back to a golden era where they were more advanced than whites. You could make the case. It's not a definitive case, but in a lot of ways, up until, say the 1400s, the early to mid 1400s, in some ways the Chinese were more advanced than the Europeans. You know, the Chinese had this eunuch admiral sail around the Indian Ocean. Now, he wasn't going way out into the Indian Ocean. He was sailing along the coast of South Asia and East Africa. But he got as far as Zanzibar, in what's now Tanzania. I mean, they went really, really far. And then decided, forget about it. I mean, there were domestic reasons where some of the emperor's advisors didn't want to spend money on this type of thing. But they didn't just send the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria. They sent a massive fleet all around the coast of the Indian Ocean. So, I mean, they had resources, and, you know, they had a lot of really, really important technology. They had invented, or at least invented the precursors of it, but they'd never really exploited it. You know, and you're thinking about printing and gunpowder. But by the time Columbus sailed, or shortly thereafter, you know, the European, you already had like a renaissance, you know, not exactly a renaissance, but when was the renaissance? I guess that was already starting. But, you know, even before the renaissance, there's a lot of stuff going on in Europe. And obviously the cathedrals were something that nobody else on earth could compete with that. And that's going back, you know, a couple hundred years before Columbus. But, you know, at least like the Chinese can look back at a time where they can make a case where that they were more advanced than Europeans. But, you know, Africans certainly can't. I mean, they can only come up with like weird conspiracy theory type stuff that they did the pyramids, and that like the pyramids were somehow stolen from them.
Flying around in spaceships till the white man came and took it all away.
Yeah. The white man, yeah, they stole their advanced technology just the way a black kid might steal a bicycle from a school parking lot. It somehow technology was something that the Europeans could come and steal from them, or civilization. Civilization was something that you could steal from somebody else, just like a bicycle, that once you steal it, the person who used to have the civilization no longer has a civilization, just like the person who used to have a bicycle would no longer have a bicycle. Somebody explained it to me once that way, and actually I think for some people maybe that's the way they understand it.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like it.
We stole their civilization. Now they don't have one.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Somebody explained it to me once that way, and actually I think for some people maybe that's the way they understand it.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like it.
We stole their civilization, and now they don't have one. Oh, I don't know. We're getting pretty close to the end of the show, though. It's amazing how time flies when you're having fun.
Well, if there's time, you should play one of our songs.
We'll do that. What's your suggestion?
I suggest our vaccination song.
Sounds good. Well, you stay unvaccinated, sir.
Yes, avoid the death jab, everybody.
And I'll be back again next week with more exciting episodes of National Bugle Radio.
Time to double down. I'm Peter Serafine, and yesterday's Liberty Minute ruffled some feathers, so I'm going all in today. If I take out a loan and make a bad investment, I still have to pay back the loan. Real estate, business, stocks, crypto, the investment doesn't matter. So why should student loans be an exception? College is an investment. You choose to go to college. You select your course of study. You pick the school. You decided to take out the loan. You are responsible. Oh, but the school lied. Or my advisor was horrible. Yeah, that's unfortunate. I'm sorry. But it's still your debt. And your debt is your responsibility and only your responsibility. I am tired of my hard-earned tax dollars going to bail out the bad decisions of banks, businesses, or individuals. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, see this Pashem Parabellum.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.